righty. Well, I do appreciate that. And, yeah, that's, you go from one side of the state to the other just about, don't you? Running with ice cleats on and wearing ice, the cleats on your bottom of your boots keep you from slipping. That's probably a really, really good idea. I was meaning to ask you earlier, since it's been sub-zero temperatures up there, you hadn't taken that minivan across the lake, have you?
No, I haven't taken the minivan. I took the Jimmy out on the ice. Megan ran across the lake the other day, but that's the only ice excursions we've done. I just drove out on the ice with Megan. We were out on a date one night, and we drove out there and spun a few cookies, and good enough. There's some snow out there, though. It's, and there's other tracks, but I didn't have no real reason to get out there further, so just did it to say we did it, and I don't know, we might have made it 100 feet from shore with the vehicle, but yeah, I guess you said you ran across the lake the other day.
You sent me a video one time of you driving out there on the lake. You're an ice road trucker, whether you want to be or not, I guess. But I think you said that was the shortest distance between where you were and where you were going to go, and that was most direct route, and then you decided to take it. But that's all irrelevant, I guess, especially if it warms up. You can't do that. I can't drive across the water. And I don't want you to get out there with it, the ice being too thin, because I don't want you to sink and something bad happen to you or anything like that. But, gosh. That's the way it is. You been doing anything good on radios up there?
No, not really. This is about as much reading as I'm doing these days. I got the radio sitting on here, but they're not plugged into any coax. And they ain't got no real good antenna outside. I got a 2-meter antenna, but I don't want to crack the window open to feed the coax in. Too much cold comes in along with that. I'd really got to get a hole poked in the wall. Some proper entrance for my coax if I expect to do this in the winter, but I haven't done that either. Not that I don't have the tools, I just haven't done it. Talking about doing operating in the winter, I heard one guy mention winter field day. Did you do that, or how'd that go? What? Tell me about it.
AOS and here in South Dakota. Yeah, we did winter field day down here. We didn't go for points this time. We just got up there and fellowshipped and had a good time. We put up several different antennas, put up two of the club radios, and then we had several folks come up and put their own radios and antennas and stuff up. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there was 5 stations up there that belonged to the individuals, and they put them up and operated a little bit. And we did it up there at Gobbler's Knob, up there at Gene's place, and above Johnny's, and had a real good time up there. A lot of real good turnout for winter field day. I couldn't believe it. And if it, I dressed a little too warm to be up there putting up antennas and things. I got a little warm with the clothes that I had on. I should have taken a layer off, but I didn't. But I didn't stay all night. I don't know if anybody stayed all night. There was a bunch of them said they were going to. But we had a blast up there. I don't know how many contacts we made, but we had fun and had a good fellowship.
Well, that's good to hear. You had a good turnout. That's all right. I heard some of the guys at Saturday morning coffee. One of the guys say that he was going to do it from his house, and I didn't hear anyone say they were going to do it at all. Never mind from outside. So I don't think I forgot about it, to be honest. not really a thing up here. You know, it might get a little warm down in the southern state for normal field day, but boy, you guys got the best conditions for the winter field day compared to that. Whereas we're on the flip side, you know, nice up here in the summer, but not so nice for doing outside field days. Or in the winter, I mean. Not so nice. Although some guys, you know, you can go all out, of course, and bring. So one year, there's a bunch of, well, three or four guys, they got their ice shacks out or tents and drilled holes in the ice. That would be kind of fun. I've never done it. There's been some talk of doing it, but it'd be fun to drill holes in the ice. You could set up beams and everything, got all kinds of, you know, open area and stuff like that. And just, I don't know, string out wires on the ice. And you just got tons of open area, obviously. Yeah. You know what they do? That sounds funny if you say it too fast, huh? Not really ham radio related, but ice related. There is kind of, I think it's between Scandinavian countries, Finland or Sweden, and Minnesotans. It's kind of a challenge, or it has been. I don't know if it continues to be. To build ice. You ever heard of an ice carousel, Gary? It was a bit short, so I don't know, didn't quite get it all, but okay, either way, I'll tell you what it is probably not everybody knows. Anyhow, you get yourself out and you cut a circle in the ice, you know, big enough, where you can stand on it and it'll float you. So they were kind of going back and forth for a few years there. You just go look this up on YouTube or internet, and they're going back and forth for the biggest ice carousels. And trading some trophy, you know, between the countries. They had an ice carousel up there in Little Falls, Minnesota, on one of the lakes. It was like, oh, golly, that thing was... I mean, it kept growing and growing for the largest ice carousel. I think, I don't know, what did they get? It's like 600 or 1,000 foot in diameter. I mean, they had, like, little carousels inside big carousels. They had lights out there and generators and... And then, you know, the whole show is turning. That 1,000-foot wheel of ice is turning. They got some, you know, little electric trolling motors, you know, around the edge. And they'll just sit there, brrr, it'll turn that whole show, you know, just slowly. And, yeah, it's quite the setup they do. Yeah, just a whole village turning around slowly on the ice.
I have heard of those ice carousels. Never seen one, but I've heard of them. Didn't know that they had competitions in it, though. I tell you, it would take some doings to cut a 1,000-foot radius circle out there in the ice. What do they use, chainsaws, I guess?
I think I've seen them. They're using some kind of like ditch witch type thing, you know? Take a lot of back-breaking labor to do chainsaws. Yeah, they must. I think, well, I've seen this one guy, he tried to do it, and it took him, like, all day to get, like, a 30-foot circle cut out. And a good part of the day. Because you got to be exact on that circle. You got any little bumps or nothing, and you just, you know, pretty soon you'd have a huge gap, you know. But, I mean, that circle has got to be pretty near... Well, it has to be perfect. You know, and you don't, the smaller the gap, of course, the better you are going to be at it. I would think if you're going to do that, you wouldn't just start at one spot and go in a circle. You'd go start at one spot and you'd go some distance and you'd leave a chunk of ice and you'd go some more distance and you keep these anchor points. Otherwise, you get all the way to the other side and the rest of it's loose. It might just snap off and, you know, mess up your circle. I don't know. But, you know, I think that's quite an engineering feat to draw a circle that big and cut it and then have it all turn, you know.
Well, that would definitely be a sight to behold with it, big ice circle turning out there with lights and the generators and all that other stuff on it. you know, you get cold weather, you have to find different things for enjoyment and... you know, for fun things to do, whereas we don't have that problem down here. Of course, I guess if we had that much ice, they'd try to figure out something about it down here. I'm glad we don't have that much ice, Steve, to be honest with you, but I would love to see a great big one like that, and I'm going to have to do some research on that, see how they get those things and where they, you know, the tie points, and like you were talking about, if you went all the way around, it might break off or something. I have to do some research on that.
Yeah, because you got anything other than a circle, they ain't going to turn, you know. It's got to be pretty near perfect. Hey, here's an idea. How would this be, Gary? So, as a ham radio bunch, winter field daying it, got yourself out a circle. You could bring out ice shacks out there, or your tents or whatever, you know, just set up the camp just like you would on land. Set up your antennas and beams, and if you got to rotate the beam, just fire up the trolling motor and turn the town.
That would work, I guess. Put you up some kind of small tower, and then you could fix your beams. You wouldn't have to build a rotator. You just rotate the whole thing.
That would be fun to do. All right, enough of that. That's a good idea. Gives me more incentive, although I probably won't do it. It's still cold. I work on this stuff. Have a good one, Gary. KF4DOS and the net, KB0KBJ.
Good talking to you. Appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit this evening from South Dakota. Tell Miss Megan and the children we said hello. Hope y'all are doing well. And look forward to doing it again sometime soon. In the meantime, y'all take care, stay warm, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. 7-3, my friend, KB0KBJ, KI4DOS, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
KI4DOS. Yeah, please. Name here is Jim. November 4,
that's
on my radio. Send me in there, I'll get
it. Good evening to you. Say good evening to N4NLR, Minister Jim, over there in Greenville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Jim. Hope you're doing well. Any other check-ins or any other comments? Don't have any more rag chewers, but if there's anyone that would like to make a comment, call KI4DOS. I'm going to wrap it up. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll finish her out. Folks, had a grand total of 77 tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. And folks, remember, y'all are the ones that make the net. You don't check in with us, we don't have a net. So y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, I don't know if he'll be calling or not. He called Monday night. I don't know who'll be calling tomorrow night. Maybe Matt. It doesn't matter who's calling. Come back again tomorrow night and give whoever's calling a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night. God bless. This is KI4DOS.